The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hello there. I can see you have great taste in podcasts. Keep your discerning streak going with the Soulforge podcast. No topic is off limits on the Soulforge. We talk about life, toys, dating, geekiness, love, nerdiness, sex and dating, TV, movies, and just about anything you can think of. Check out the Soulforge podcast. Soulforgepodcast.com and wherever you find your podcasts. We're everywhere.
Everyone, I forgot that my camera is here. It is normally up here, so if I don't look at the camera, y'all, I am sorry. My name is Katie, and welcome to the first ever Con Girl.
Con Girls!
First of what is hopefully going to be many. We got a snazzy new background. If you guys aren't familiar with the Con Girls, we are the feminine side of the Con Guy, who normally we go live with on Monday nights, but today we've got three wonderful ladies. Who do we have next to me?
I'm Emily. I'm like the new con girl, I guess you could say.
She's my partner in crime. She's been to Comic-Con with me for multiple years now. She is as nerdy as I am.
Yep.
And we are joined by our lovely, beautiful, wonderful friend on that other side over there.
Hi, y'all. I'm Danae. I'm one half of the Samblings. I'm one of the con girls for our first ever con girls. I'm so excited. I love that I love that if it's a con girl show, I'm doing it with you guys. I said it before on the podcast, but I just want to say again, I mean, I met you both at Comic-Con, obviously through Jim, but still, it's so cool that we're doing this. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we've mentioned con girls on the Con Guy, but it's been a long process, and thanks to the wonderful support of our friends Luke and Jim for all the work that they put into helping us get this started, and for the intro that you saw that was made by Luke, and our snazzy background that kind of has a little bit of everything that all of us love.
And Luke made that music for us, just so
composed it.
He composed that.
The composer to that long list of things he's good at.
I know, right?
Look at him go.
But we are going to talk about some really fun things tonight. We figured that since a big movie came out that you might have heard about, that we would talk about Black Widow. Because who better to talk about Black Widow than a whole bunch of fabulous nerdy females?
That's right.
So we're going to talk about that, but I'm going to start with giving a little bit of an awesome convention that happened this last Friday. Yes.
Yeah. And then
Friday, which was WitcherCon. They did two live streams via Twitch and YouTube to announce a whole bunch of new stuff for the Witcher franchise. So I'm going to be talking about that a little bit before. We'll have some awesome pictures and stuff like that. And we'll see what else happens to come up in this conversation, because sometimes tangents happen.
Especially with us.
Especially with us. If you guys watched our live stream last Wednesday post Loki watch, you'd know it starts with nerds and it ends with parkour.
That's right, parkour! Parkour!
Yeah. Parkour, parkour!
That said, anybody else have anything else to add before we get started with the WitcherCon?
Let's go with the WitcherCon, because I want to get into some Black Widow.
I know. I'm excited to hear more about WitcherCon, because I did not attend it.
If you guys aren't familiar with the Con Guy Show, I do the con update about all the stuff that's coming up about conventions. And because conventions cannot happen in person, you know, we're still kind of getting to see how that's going to be with CD Projekt Red in correspondence with Netflix, put together a virtual WitcherCon. It was the first ever, hopefully the first of many. For those of you who aren't familiar with The Witcher, it is a massive franchise that started with books that were in Poland, and then it later became a video game series, and then now it's a series on Netflix. It's comic books, soon to be anime, and they announced a lot more stuff at WitcherCon. There were two streams on Twitch and YouTube, and oh, look it, thank you, Jim. This is the first thing that they announced, which is, of course, what we were all waiting for. was Witcher Season 2. Witcher Season 2 was, they dropped a trailer, and they said that it will be out December 17th.
Woo!
Which, obviously, all of us girls in this particular podcast are stoked about for one main reason, and his name is Henry Cavill.
So that means we're going to take, like, December 18th off from work. We're going to be up when it drops on the 16th at midnight. We are watching all of them. We will probably hop on, because I imagine I'll be back east by then, but, you know, we'll probably hop on Instagram Live and talk about it nonstop for like 10 hours. Make everybody listen. Yeah.
But if you guys have not watched The Witcher Season 1, I highly recommend it. You will, if you like fantasy, if you like battle sequences, and you like fighting, and you like Henry Cavill, and you like
catchy tunes,
you will very much enjoy it. So I highly recommend it. It's 8 episodes, so it's a pretty fast watch. You can easily binge it if you have a day. Ooh, Jim threw in a picture that none of us were expecting.
Hello.
Wow, okay, there is Henry Cavill from the first season. But you will not be disappointed. It also helps that Henry Cavill is a massive fan of the Witcher franchise, so you can tell that he loves it, and he's putting that into his performance as well.
That's something I appreciate, is when they give a part to a fan. I mean, it's part of the reason that Deadpool did so well, is because Ryan Reynolds was a Deadpool fan. And of course, I think part of the reason the show has done as well as it did, don't get me wrong, The Witcher had an amazing following, but bringing somebody like Henry Cavill in, who loves the part and has a huge following already, definitely helped it succeed.
Yeah, and if you liked shows like Game of Thrones, it's kind of in the same realm, but in a little bit different. I like it in a little bit more, in just the sense that I feel like it has a little bit more potential. And I think the material is a little bit more, I think they're gonna be more genuine to the material than. Also, yeah. Game of Thrones isn't done being written yet, so that kind of causes some problems.
Yeah, I mean, I love Game of Thrones. I got Westeros right there, but I will say The Witcher is in Game of Thrones because it drinks respect women juice.
Yes, but another, not only did they announce, of course, Season 2 was the biggest thing that they announced at WitcherCon, and they had a panel with all of the, some of the awesome badass females in the show. Henry Cavill was not in that panel because he had his own panel at the very end where he talked about just everything about The Witcher, about the games, about the books, about his experience as The Witcher. It was amazing. She got there for the second half of it.
I did.
I was like, oh, you got to get off work. Like, I'm watching Henry Cavill. And she got to catch the end of it. And you could see the gamer of him inside of him showing. And it was just a really, really good interview with Josh Horowitz, who you guys might know from all the other stuff that he does. But and it was fun to see something like that when cons are absent. But a couple other quick updates about it is they did 2 streams, and then I had to watch the second stream because I had to work during the first one. But they did stream live via CD Projekt Red, who makes The Witcher games, and Netflix's Twitch page and YouTube pages. So that was kind of a cool vibe, especially since Twitch is popular for streaming The Witcher. I thought it was nice that they were actually streaming this content on there as well. So another thing they announced was that there's going to be a anime special, and it is made by the same people who did Legends of Korra. And there is a trailer online on YouTube and on their Instagram for it, and it is called Nightmare of the Wolf, which I believe I have a picture for. So that is the poster for The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf. It is an anime special that will be on Netflix on August 23rd, I believe. Yes, August 23rd. So in about a month. Yeah.
It is really soon, yeah.
And there is a trailer, and it looks pretty awesome. It is a story about that follows. Why am I blanking on his name right now? I am so bad. I cannot remember his name right now, and I'm not prepared enough. Give me a second while I look this up, y'all.
Okay, while you're looking it up, I want to give a quick comment because I can't play like RPG games because I get motion sickness. So unfortunately, I did not play the game before watching the series, but I was home for Christmas when the first season dropped and I turned it on and it was like a work day. My mom was gone. My dad was home and it was like 2 minutes into the episode, not even. And my dad just kept going, who's that? Who's that? What's he doing? And I was like, I don't know, Dad. If you can watch, we find out. But it was adorable because he ended up like, I think I kind of got frustrated and walked out and watched it on my own. But my dad ended up loving the series too. Like it was a couple weeks later, it was like, oh, did you get to the part where that girl with the purple eyes does the... Anyways, my dad's adorable. I will always love him.
That's pretty great.
Guys, I'm totally drawing a blank. Oh, Vesemir. Wow. Okay. His name is Vesemir, and guys, I'm so sorry. I do play the games. I'm a big fan of the franchise. I am just going off of a very long day. So it follows the story of Vesemir, who is basically kind of like the person who trained and took care of and trained and fathered Geralt, as much as a father figure as you could possibly be in this franchise. So it's actually a prequel to the TV show, but we are getting his character in season two. So it actually comes up perfectly to kind of introduce the character since he will be showing up this season. So it's going to be, it looks pretty awesome. Me and Emily watched the trailer, and if you like anime, and it has like, it is going to be a darker anime because obviously the Witcher franchise is a little bit dark, but I'm excited. It, from the trailer, Emily and I were like, okay, this looks really good. It's like an hour and a half, so it's not going to take up too much time of your day.
It's a movie.
Because it's a movie special. It's not a TV show. And Netflix is really embracing that the Witcher franchise. It has a really good, it's actually going to be, it's actually written from what I understood. Oh no, the comics are written, but they're working with CD Projekt Red and a lot of this stuff and stuff. So they're all making sure that they stay true to the franchise from what it seems like. But they were full of even more announcements because they announced, he just keeps throwing pictures of The Witcher up here, and they're just catching them.
That looks like my washing machine.
That is the picture that both of us have on our washing machine.
Yeah, because you copied it. Oh my gosh, hold on. I got to text Jim so he can share it with everybody.
Yeah.
2 seconds. Keep talking.
We both have that picture on our dishwasher that's for the dirty dishes. But yeah, I stole the dirty idea boy. From Danae, whose roommate made it, so I can't take credit for that.
Shout out to Alexa.
Yeah. Right. The other thing that they announced, for those of you who are video game fans, which let's see if I can grab this without messing up my camera.
You did.
Speaking of the Witcher 3 franchise, yeah. So this is my little Geralt pop.
Goat.
The Witcher 3 franchise, they did announce prior to WitcherCon that there would not be a new game announcement. They felt like they probably should have warned people before, which was a good idea on their part because everybody's like, ooh, WitcherCon, are you going to announce another game? They did not announce another game. They did announce that there will be some sort of a remastering of it to be make it compatible with newer consoles, i.e. Xbox and PlayStation 5, so that they can update it and have the graphics be better. But they did mention that there might be some sort of like a DLC type thing where you could get the skins from the TV show. So that's something we can look forward to because obviously that's the kind of the biggest thing in video games is like once there's movie versions and the game comes out, everyone wants those costumes and skins that were worn in the TV show or movie. So that'll be really cool because he has some really awesome armor in the show. So it'll be cool to see that incorporated and to keep keeping it remastered. I mean, visually it is stunning and it the way that they're recreating it on the show is amazing, but technology keeps improving. So it's nice to see that CD Projekt Red is still trying to improve it, especially after all the problems they had with Cyberpunk. So it's nice to see that The Witcher, they're still trying to make sure that people can enjoy it. And then last but not least, they also, well, it's not last but not least, but almost last but not least, they did announce another Dark Horse Comics Witcher series called Witch's Lament. Dark Horse has been making Witcher comics for a while now, but this is a new one, which it was hard to see exactly what it's about, but it looked cool. But there is more comics that are available for pre-order soon on Dark Horse Comics if you're more of a comic book person. And these kind of take different directions in the way that they tell The Witcher. So check that out if you're a comic book fan. Also, Dark Horse is also releasing a Geralt figure, which I believe Jim has a picture of. This beautiful figure.
It looks so
good.
And
it is the Netflix version of Geralt, not the Witcher 3 version of Geralt. And it is available for pre-order.
Crush it, go ahead. Crush it, go ahead. Crush it.
Available for pre-order in like a week or so. From what I saw online, it is going to be for $49.99, which I don't think is bad.
For a figure,
yeah, it's $50. So I'm like, it's not terrible for a
collection. Well, especially one that like actually looks like the character and not
yeah.
like a Barbie doll with a braid.
Yeah.
It's to happen with collectibles.
And anytime they have like a built-in stand, it's like you know that it's meant to be
displayed.
So there it is.
That's my dishwasher.
Ours is a little bit different. Ours is a reversible one, but it's
the
bottom picture. And the top picture we have is like he has no glasses, but it's the same premise.
Well, that's from Man from Uncle up top.
Yeah. Ours right is a red carpet photo that I found on the internet.
Oh, that also works. Anyways.
But yeah, anyway. So obviously we're all big fans of Witcher.
We are very big fans of The Witcher and nothing else.
Yeah. But yeah, that was for the most part. They announced some other stuff too. I mean, there's so much stuff that they are doing to make this an actual massive franchise and universe. I mean, there's a mobile game coming out that's a augmented reality game that people are going to be able to play. I mean, they're thinking of everything. So if you guys want to,
that's what I want to play.
I'm assuming the streams are still up on Twitch, but I'm not entirely positive. But you can definitely catch most of the stuff that they streamed on YouTube or on the Witcher website. But it was awesome. I enjoyed it. It was a little bit of everything. There's a little bit of, you know, everyone has something that they could enjoy for medium wise. You know, there's visual, there's written, there's gaming. So yeah, and if you haven't played Witcher 3 and you like gaming and you want a good game for your money, I can't boast about it enough, because I mean, it's worth however much money you pay for it. I mean, she got it for $16. You can't really beat that. But even if you pay $60 for it, my first playthrough went through 250 hours of game time. So you get your money's worth, and it's just visually stunning. So,
and obviously, to point out, I've only played like an hour of it because I'm horrible at it. And I get frustrated, and then I start button mashing. But
well, one of the highlights of Henry Cavill's panel and his conversation with Josh was that he was saying how he recently tried to restart playing it again, like since being on the show. And he plays it on the PC. He's a big PC gamer guy, and you could totally see that part of him showing. But he mentioned how he tried to play it on the hardest difficulty, which is Death March. And how he's like, I need to ease myself back into it, because he was basically saying he was struggling with it. And that is currently how I'm playing it on Twitch. So I got to admit, I was a little bit like, I know I'm not a better gamer than Henry, but it's nice to know that I haven't given up on Death March. And he was like, I got to revisit this. So it's a little bit of a flex.
Like you're a better gamer than Superman, Katie.
We're not going to say that. Oh, we are not going to get controversial. We don't want to piss off the internet or Mr. Henry Cavill by saying that. On a side note, I did live tweet WitcherCon, and so if you guys want to see the thoughts and ramblings that I did, you can go on to the Con Guys Twitter. The Witcher show might have liked a few of those tweets. So the Witcher, if anybody at Netflix is watching this, and you need someone to host an after show, I'm just going to put it out there. Like, I did season one last year for after show. So, you know, just saying.
She'd be real good at it.
You're an excellent host, Katie, I say as I stumble over my words. I do have a question about season two.
Yeah.
And if you mentioned this and I didn't understand it, I apologize, because I was looking up the information. I want to make sure I had it right. Did you talk about Christopher, is it Hivju, who is like, he was Tormund Giantsbane in Game of Thrones. He was cast in season 2 of Witcher.
I don't know his name, but yes. I don't know much about, he wasn't at the panel, it was some of the other characters, but I am so stoked for him to be in season 2.
I mean, just dropping like his name, I'm so excited. He could be in there for 2 seconds and I watched the whole season.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, doesn't he play a character that like turns into a bear? Spoiler alert.
I can't remember exactly what character he's playing at the moment.
I thought I read that on Tumblr after the announcement, and obviously I trust everything Tumblr says, because they're always right.
I didn't know Tumblr was still really a thing.
So. I was going to say, is that a thing?
It is when you're in your 80s, like I am.
But yeah, when he announced that he was going to be in Witcher season 2, I got really excited, just because I love Tormund so much. And
she does every time he pops up, because I'm still watching Game of Thrones. Still in the middle of it. Every time he shows up, she's like, oh, I love him.
Yes.
He's great. He's one of my favorite characters from the series.
He will eventually fill the Robb Stark hole in your chest, I promise. You'll forget. No, you won't. But, you know. It's okay. So, but that said, if that's all for the Witcher, you're going to see a lot more of the Witcher at the moment, because it hasn't come out yet. So we're going to move on to Black Widow.
Woo! I have notes. Notes for this one. Not as many notes as I did for Loki, but I have Black Widow notes. I'm very excited.
So I'm going to read off just some of the stuff that, you know, the stuff that the industry pays attention to and some people pay attention to real quick. You know, like, how did it do? Theaters just reopened. you know, everybody's kind of curious, like, how a little bit questioning going to the theater. Like, is it?
It did okay. We might be phasing out of theaters.
But the Walt, as of July 11th, is that today? Today, July 11th, or today, the 12th?
Today's the 12th.
Okay, so as of yesterday, Walt Disney announced that Black Widow debuted to an estimated total of more than 215 million globally this weekend.
Walt Disney himself announced this?
Walt Disney Company. Did I not say company?
No, he just said Walt Disney.
He came back from the grave.
He pulled his head out of the freezer just so he could say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, a couple of years ago, one guy was like, oh, yeah, like female-led superhero movies just don't tend to do very well. And then Wonder Woman punched him in the face. That's and now brilliant. We have a Black Widow movie.
Yeah, but it included $80 million in the domestic box office, $78 million international, and over $60 million in Disney Plus Premier Access consumer, just in spending total. So it's achieved the largest domestic box office opening since COVID began. Not really surprised by that.
No.
And also, let's just talk about the fact that it's at 215 million globally this weekend.
That's amazing.
This was like pre-COVID, that would not have been as big of a thing. It would have been like, oh, only made 215 million. But given it's the first major movie to come out in theaters after a year of the theaters being shut down, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it does show that people are still going to the theaters.
Yeah.
Our theater was full. Like, our theater was sold out.
It was full. And they were back open to max capacity. And mm-hmm. it was full. I mean, there were people on either sides of my seats. But I'm vexed, so it was cool.
Yeah. The combined theatrical and Disney Plus Premier Access opening makes Black Widow the only film to surpass $100 million in domestic consumer spending on opening weekend since the start of the pandemic. And it's the highest domestic opening weekend for a Marvel Cinematic Universe origin story after Black Panther and Captain Marvel. So, yeah. So I think it did okay.
Which
is kind of nice to hear because I, you know, Emily can chime in on this. I was a little worried. I went in with not Marvel expectations. I went in with, like, it's going to be good because it's a Marvel movie, but it's not going to be like end game level excitement. I just was like a little worried because this year honestly came 8 to 10 years too late that, you know, I was a little worried that it's been so long that we've been wanting a Black Widow movie that it would kind of end up being on the same level as like Incredible Hulk. And I didn't want that. And thankfully, I mean,
it wasn't anywhere near Incredible Hulk level.
Yeah. We're going to talk. And here's the first thing that I thought we should talk about is we can each say our just initial thoughts of like how we liked it and all that stuff. So I was pleasantly surprised. And honestly, the second time I enjoyed it just as much, if not more. You know, the hype is gone, so you can fully watch it and say, okay, now that the hype is gone, where does this movie sit? Is it going to be, okay, this movie is still good? Or is it, you know, like when I watched Captain Marvel for a second time and went, eh. So, you know, it's a little darker than most of the Marvel movies, but I'm okay with that. Not like super dark, but it is a little bit of a different feel than especially than the origin stories. But I do have to say, I don't really know that I would call this an origin story because it's not really an origin story. It's kind of like her own standalone adventure where she doesn't need the boys to back her up.
It was a healthy mix of the two, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You still got her origin, but I liked that instead of making it completely an origin story, they told you it throughout the movie of what happened in her childhood and before she was with the Avengers without having to have an entire movie dedicated to just that. So, because I don't think an actual origin story would have been successful since we've already known her character for 12 years at this point. So, and I'm just like, you go, ScarJo.
And it, honestly,
you got your time to shine, and that girl rocked it.
Even with the origin story, how they did it, I leaned over to Katie tonight while we were in the movie theater, and I said, they did a great song choice. Like, they did that, I don't remember what it's called, but they slowed it down, and they put it in, like, a minor key, and it just kind of gives you that eerie feeling of, like, ooh, she's going through some bad ish right now. And like, it really set the mood.
Yeah. And it was, like I said, that's why I said it was darker. Because that first opening credits scene it's dark for Marvel, because usually the beginning scene like that is not as dark as it was. So that's what I was like, oh, this is setting it up to not be quite as lighthearted. And they did liven it up with humor, which was nice. It was a good balance of humor without being too forced. I thought so. But yeah, what do you think, Danae?
Are we going to jump into spoilers just yet, or are we just going to keep it safe for
Let's do our thoughts first.
Okay, our thoughts. I mean, I definitely agree about that opening scene, because I had moments of just like, oh my gosh, is this family going to be okay? Like, I've take care of kids a lot in my line of work. And so whenever there's like children going through trauma, I'm always like, who's taking care of these babies? Somebody get them. And so, yeah, like I definitely had some nervous moments, but you're right. It was for a dark setup of a darker movie, but it was still able to find those moments. I felt like I was in the theaters watching Avengers 2012 when I saw this movie. I don't know that it was as good as that film, if that makes sense, because when I went in to see Avengers, I was like, oh, cool. It's like a superhero movie with all the superheroes that together, like that's going to be fun. And then blown away. We all know Avengers Assemble was amazing. And I don't have to say it to you guys, but it was just that same sort of thing. Like, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to have a Marvel movie that's going to, it'll be good. It's Marvel. I trust it to be okay. And then just, it was even better than I was anticipating. And and we had that, like I said, we had that adventure, we had the dark moments, and but we still had like those sassy banter lines that just made it fun. I really enjoyed watching it. I had the best time.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous you guys have seen it twice.
Where would you guys say that this falls in how you like it? Like, from, like, what's your least favorite and most favorite? And then where does this fall in that, if that makes sense what I'm asking?
That is a two-part of a question, Katie.
Why don't we circle back to this question?
Okay. All right, we'll think about
it. Let me say my thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's just say the first time I saw it, I thought it was super fun. I was able to like just really enjoy myself and be like, oh yeah, well deserved. Second time I saw it, I really actually appreciated Black Widow more. I really got into like her character and was like, this chick is badass. Like, she don't take no crap from anybody, and I am living for it. And then adding in all of these awesome female characters as well, like Yelena, loved Yelena.
Yeah.
She was awesome. And yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it the whole time.
And it had a lot of levels. It had a lot of different levels. It was never, go, and never stopped. You had like this time to cool down, this time to tell the story, where it wasn't all action 24/7, which is what some skeptics will say of Marvel, is that there's too much action in the story, which I don't really ever think, but you know. But yeah, while we're talking about, before we get into like actual spoilers and all that stuff, there is one more thing I wanted to talk about, which is the acting in general. I think this movie thrived in its the way who they cast and how people's performances were going, because you can't really see this movie without comparing it to other superhero female superhero movies. And I think the acting, because Scarlett Johansson has been in this franchise for so long, she knows how to be Natasha. Like, it's second nature probably to her at this point.
Yeah, she's been in the franchise almost as long as Iron Man has.
Yeah. Almost, yeah, because she was in Iron Man 2, was it 2, right? Yeah. So,
yeah.
But also, David Harbour was just absolutely delightful. You know, most of us have seen him in Stranger Things, and that's kind of like the only thing most of us have seen him in. But he was a good comic relief.
He did.
But also, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we get to see him in more movies as Red Guardian.
I mean, I'd love to see just a Red Guardian movie.
Yeah, he was great. He also had that cheesy dad vibes that you kind of want from this really weird family. It's like, you expected, you needed that humor, that dad humor, which was kind of lovely. And they nailed all the like chemistry in all their scenes together. And then Florence as Yelena was
so good.
I
so good.
She was great. She had perfect, really good comedic timing.
She is just phenomenal in every role I've seen her in, too. I call her my daughter. Like, she's 2 years younger than me, but she's my daughter. I would adopt her. And honestly, I think she, it was an ensemble cast is what made this movie for me, and her being one of the biggest reasons, other than Rachel Weisz and Hopper.
David Harbour.
Yeah.
Like, they had, yeah, and she was charming when she needed to be. She was funny when she needed to be. But honestly, I think some of the best comedic parts were her, because she just had this natural comic ability.
She was sassy too.
I loved her sass. Yeah. So.
Because one thing that Marvel really does nail is the sibling dynamic. And of course, once again, they just knocked it out of the park. Like, I don't have a sister, but I have two brothers. And being the youngest in my family, I could definitely relate to a lot of the lines and a lot picking on everything they do. And if you've ever listened to a podcast when Derek and I were both on here, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah. It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, Rachel Weisz kind of gave me Mummy vibes at some points, because I'm like, we haven't seen her kick ass in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, The Mummy came out a while ago. I don't remember the last thing I saw her in, but there's certain parts where I'm like, she's still got it. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, she's still got it. And
yeah,
she does. I went to a fundraiser with my parents a couple years ago, and I had you look like that girl from that movie about the mummy with Brendan Fraser, and trying to tell me I looked like, and I was like, do you mean Rachel Weisz? And she was like, yeah, that's who it is. And it was easily the best compliment anybody's ever given me to ever be compared to somebody like Rachel Weisz. I made my month.
That's
it was awesome. To answer your question though, Katie, I think I have an answer about where does it fall. It has to take into consideration though, the settings around when you saw a movie, because I mean, when I saw Thor Ragnarok, I was going through a really bad spell. I hadn't seen my best friend in a long time. We finally got together and went and saw it. And it was just, I was able to laugh so much. So it still sits as my favorite Marvel movie, not just because I'm a Loki fan, but just because of the timing around it made it so good. And it's still that movie I watch, like, if I'm having a bad day, that's the one I want to see, because it makes me laugh, makes me remember a great day. And, so you have to compete with that going into this. But my favorite movie would either be Thor Ragnarok or Avengers 2012. And my least favorite is Infinity War. But I would probably put this right, like, I would put it on the Ragnarok side of that spectrum, about in place with Winter Soldier. I would say it was as good as Winter Soldier. I'm saying it. It was as good as Winter Soldier.
I don't agree with that. But
okay, Winter Soldier.
Well, you're entitled to your own wrong opinion. That's fine.
I mean, The Winter Soldier is like one of my all-time favorite movies. Yeah. It's so good. It was so well made. The story was so amazing. And like, honestly, like the first Avengers and Winter Soldier are like my top. Like, they're like hand in hand. Like, I love them both. Mm-hmm. And then, like, bottom spectrum is like Age of Ultron.
Yes.
Not a big Age of Ultron fan.
Yeah.
But I think Black Widow, I don't know where it falls in. There's so many good ones. Ah, there's my boo!
Oh, Katie, that looks like your cosplay. Or M, that looks like your cosplay.
I cosplay Bucky.
Without the mask, though.
Yeah.
She did maskless.
I did maskless.
I feel like for me, it wasn't on the bad spectrum. It wasn't on the great spectrum. It was definitely a solid middle ground of the movie.
I'd say like higher middle for me.
Yeah, but I do believe that it is my favorite female superhero movie that I've seen in a while.
Oh yeah.
I would say the same. I'm not knocking Wonder Woman. Don't get me wrong, Wonder Woman, not 84. Wonder Woman was a fantastic film. But I personally like Marvel better than I like DC. And I like their formula and I like their stories better. So in that sense, it is my favorite one. And it actually made me like, hey, look it. We finally got this like kick-ass female superhero that doesn't have to, not that there's anything wrong with the skimpy costume, but she doesn't need them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked.
Something I did say to my brother and sister-in-law, because they were not fans of 84. I've kind of said it here. I mean, I wasn't paying a ton of attention when I watched Wonder Woman 1984, but I still had fun going in to see it. But also, I don't hold DC in the same light that I hold Marvel in. I judge them differently. And it, yeah, exactly. But I felt like Black Widow felt like what Wonder Woman 1984 was trying to be. Don't get me wrong, it's still so much fun. I still love watching it, but it wasn't quite there for me. Mm-hmm. But Black Widow, it's like it got there. It had the fun. It had like the really tough women. It had the good moral compass. It had the morals. It had the found family. And it had the sass that we all love in a superhero movie and the awesome action that I think Wonder Woman 1984 was trying to have but didn't quite stick the landing with.
Yeah.
No, it's fair.
Yeah, she still looks good.
Pulling up pictures.
He's just on top of it. And yeah, here's the thing: what I love so much about certain like female superheroes, that I don't think a lot of people realize is that there's some sort of compassion to them. They still have that feminine side, and I absolutely love that. Like with Wonder Woman, she was so compassionate; she just wanted everyone to be safe and be happy type thing. And she wanted to save humanity. With Black Widow, she's just like, I have this compassion. Like, I want to do good. I want to be a good person. I don't want my past to chase me. And then you see it towards even the end of the movie with the compassion towards her family and towards other stuff. We haven't gotten into the spoilers yet, so I'm not going to spoil it yet.
We can probably start going into that.
Okay. This is the official spoiler warning. Stepping into spoiler territory.
Because, like, her compassion towards Taskmaster at the end, where she was like, I'm sorry, and that kind of thing. Like, I just love when women could be awesome, like, badass people, and then also have that compassion still, and not just be totally hard. And that's what I love so much about female heroes, especially Black Widow and Wonder Woman.
Yeah. And to bounce off of what you said, Emily, I love the way she was conniving and she thought like a woman. Like, I mean, we saw this in Avengers 2012 when she is basically interrogating this guy in the beginning and then interrogating Loki. She acts like she acts a little bit defenseless, acts like she's hurt, and uses that to coerce them to get what she wants. And she does that again
in the movie too. Like,
it's
fine. Thank you for your cooperation.
Yeah. I love that.
So good.
Love it. But this movie definitely, I mean, don't get me wrong, I always liked Black Widow, but she was always just like another Avenger that was cool. This movie really made me love her.
Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it, you know, in the theater today, though, as like kind of like a funny thing is there's in the scene where she finally sees, why can't I think of the main guy's name, the villain's name? The guy who created all the widows.
The guy who was Russian but had a British accent.
Yeah, that one.
So
that guy.
I apologize to everybody listening or watching.
Can't think of his name
at the moment. But when she's trying to basically get him to kind of figure out how to stop him, basically, but also how to kill him, he shows up a map of all the girls that are in the widow organization who he's brainwashed and manipulated, and it shows all these pictures. And the first thing that came to my mind, both the first time I watched it in theaters, was the
Who Run the World?
Like, that's legit.
Dracov. Thank you.
Dracov. I just said it too.
Yeah. That's what I thought when the girls popped up on the screen, and I was like, this is horrible that I'm thinking this right now, but I literally was just thinking of Beyonce singing that. Like,
what was scary though about that scene is that there are so many widows. There are thousands of them, and they got to go out and try and cure them all because nobody wants
be brainwashed. Just ask Bucky. Nobody wants to be brainwashed. It's not
at
fun.
Least theirs is a little bit easier to cure than Bucky.
True.
Like, oof. You know, Bucky. My Bucky has some major like PTSD because of it. But
my
like,
poor baby.
Well, know. I mean, I would imagine that they do as well because they're. I mean, yeah. They're dealing with like, oh man, I right at the beginning. Spoiler: Florence Pugh killed this woman who sprayed her with the. Special perfume that helped her remember. and there was that instant regret of what she had done and this realization. So I would imagine in other movies, we are going to see more of that with the widows who have gotten cured. This whole thing of like, man, what did I do while I was under this spell? Who have I hurt? How can I make it right?
Well, yeah. And then it even brings up a point too, like when Yelena is talking about the vest and stuff, like that's the first item of clothing she ever bought, and that is insane because she's like in her 20s. Mm-hmm. And like that's just how these girls were raised and how they were trained and brainwashed. Like they don't have lives of their own, and it's just sad.
Yeah,
I think if I could take a quick tangent real quick, because I don't want to take up too much time, this could be an awesome example of what it's like to step out of a abusive relationship, be it like familial or friendship or romantic, is like you realize, like it really does take somebody, it takes a lot to get out of something like that. Mm-hmm. And once you are out of it, you see what you let someone put you through. You see what kind of things were kept from you. You see the things you missed out on. And I mean, of course, obviously this does happen for men as well. I will say that, but we see it a lot more often with women. And I think that's a great portrayal of that, of how there is so much more out there and so much more available. And you don't have to stay in this dark, brainwashed place. There's a brighter day.
Exactly.
I can't remember any lines from the movie because this has had a very long day at work, but
you're good. Well, and another thing is, we're going to talk about probably one of the most controversial things about the movie, in the sense that certain people who are very purists when it comes to the comics will be upset about. And that is Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we all have our thoughts and opinions on Taskmaster, and the fact that Taskmaster's character is not the same as Taskmaster is in the comics, mainly being because Taskmaster is the... Spoiler, major spoiler alert for anybody listening or watching. Please stop watching or listening now if you do not want to hear this. But Taskmaster is revealed to be the daughter of Dracov, who Natasha, quote unquote, killed in order to kill him years prior with Clint. And it turns out that she did not die. Well, neither of them died. And she basically, he helped save her life, but really didn't save her life because she basically was just like a widow to him.
Yeah,
she was expendable. She could be controlled.
And it
just shows you how terrible he is. He did this to his own daughter.
Mm-hmm.
He brainwashed and controlled his own daughter. And granted, she's kick-ass too. Like the fact that she mimics whoever she's fighting and can copy them. Like that is not, you're going to go nowhere. That fight's going to be difficult because you have to be able to outsmart them. But people are a little bit up in arms about it. People who are gatekeeping, people who are purists. And honestly, I mean, we all are passionate. We all understand that we all are very passionate about the material. I personally did not read the comics, so this isn't coming from someone who's read the comics. I don't think any three of us have.
Mm-mm.
But I can appreciate a good story, and I can appreciate them molding a story in the way that they want to take it. I mean, I enjoyed it. Some people might not like that she's a female, but I did say this after we saw it the first time. I do think it was smart of Marvel to have a male and a female. Yeah. Because otherwise you run into the, oh, why is it that all the men are bad and all the women are good? So I think they kind of needed to have both for that balance of, no, like the widows aren't necessarily good if they're being brainwashed. But yeah, the big bad, the Thanos level bad, would be Dracov. I mean, he's literally controlling women.
Yeah.
That's another discussion. Like, he's literally controlling women. But he's still, one of the other villains is still Taskmaster, because you don't know what's going on until the end and stuff like that.
And then you kind of are like, oh, snap. Mm-hmm.
And you got a really good boss fight between her and Red Guardian. So, you know, it's great. She totally, they both gave each other a run for their money.
They
so.
Did. And can we just talk about one of my favorite fight scenes is Black Widow take on all of the Widows with a broken nose. That is awesome right there.
Yeah. It was really good. And I mean, there was a little bit of that, like, I mean, both ends of this, yes, they kind of came at her a few at a time, but also if three people are already fighting someone, it's kind of hard for a fourth to get in there and start making a difference. Yeah. And they do eventually start to surround her. So I thought for cinematic value, they handled a fight like that well, because it wasn't one at a time, but it also wasn't everybody all at once right at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, all the fighting in this was better than the female fighting scene in Endgame. So, and they, Marvel fixed their formula for a female fight, because we all cringed at their attempt in Endgame to have a female fighting scene.
That yeah. moment in Endgame felt like the best, just what's the word? Sum up, like you could get the entirety of Captain Marvel from those 3 seconds of Endgame. Like, that's what I felt like watching all of Captain Marvel. Just, it was the same feeling, but smushed down to 3 seconds that were even worse. And something my brother mentioned that I thought was really cool was how awesome would it have been if we could have had this movie right after Civil War, where it takes mm-hmm. place chronologically. And then you could have had, instead, in that moment, instead of all the women lining up, you could have just, like, at the last second, in comes all of these freed Black Widows who are there to help.
Right.
Wouldn't that have been amazing?
That would have been awesome to avenge freaking Black Widow, because yeah. she passed away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It would have been so much better. And so, but they're not as smart as us. No, I'm kidding. Well, let them do that.
With that point, though, what are some cons from this movie? What are some things that you weren't thrilled about?
Some of the special effects. Some of them just weren't as good as I was hoping. But yeah, I think that was my biggest pet peeve, was just some of the explosions, her flying in on the helicopter. Just weren't that great. But
I think what got to me is how many times she was in a car that smashed into something, got flipped over, and then she yeah. was fine. I know that a lot of action movies do that, but you reach a moment of, this is too much. I mean, she was on the car that almost went over the edge of the bridge, and then the two of them were in the car that got smashed several times, did a flip, went down the stairs into a subway station.
Yeah, right? And like, what about the one widow that falls and breaks her leg and is like,
yeah, she falls, yeah. what, like 20
and then,
feet?
Like, and Black Widow's just like, boom, 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 falling on her legs. And she's like, all right, I'm up, I'm good.
Yeah, and I think that.
Yeah. You know,
when the parachute opens right before they hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Like right before.
It would have been messed up. Now, granted, we can't be realistic, but at the same time, it was some of the action sequences were a little bit repetitive. I'll take that.
Yeah, so a big thing for me was they couldn't beat up Dracov because of a pheromone meant they couldn't hurt him. So could she not have stepped a little bit farther away from him and then shot him?
I think it's going to be like in the same room. Scent can travel.
Okay. Pretty far. Also, how was it then that, I'm sorry, Florence Pugh, because that's who she'll always, no matter what character she plays, she's Florence Pugh. How was she able to blow up the helicopter that the guy was in then?
I think maybe because it was outside and it wasn't.
It was outside. He was surrounded by a bunch of other guys that probably smelled way worse, way stronger. So she could hop on the helicopter.
He wasn't
throw something into the motor and then do a backflip and be okay.
No, sorry, Katie. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. No, that's valid. That's a valid
point. Maybe since it was like a helicopter and all of the wind was getting whiffed away from her, maybe she just couldn't smell him.
Yeah. I also just assumed it was because she wasn't hurting him directly. She was trying to tamper with something he was in. But I don't know. I mean,
it's a good question.
That is a good question. I think for the most part, I agree with you guys. I'm trying to think of other cons that I thought of, other than just some minor costuming things, which that's just because I'm a costumer and I see costumes and I notice little things here or there. But wasn't there one big con I had? What was it?
I don't remember.
I can't remember right now.
Look at these cool cups we got today. Look, it's a little glitter on top of my cup.
I know you're like,
and it spins.
And it's
literally you bought the cup and they gave you a little piece that inserts into the top.
My little
it doesn't spin. I'm seeing the reflection of the ceiling fans.
I got mine off.
So you could take it off and it has its own stand. So basically we could take these off and just put them somewhere, which we probably will.
Probably.
Where did you guys go to get these? I want one.
Happy Tan.
And they had the costumes on display, which is a good segue for some pictures.
Yes, look at that.
So these were in the, why can't I think of what they're called right now?
The theater?
The boxes on the side of the theater in the audience, in the house.
The boxes, right?
Okay. So these were set up on the both sides of the boxes. Mm-hmm. We had balcony seating. The El Capitan is a privately owned, completely owned by Disney Theater. So they only show Disney movies. It's the only one of the only theaters that does that. And then outside in the lobby, they had the main costume, Black Widow, which me as a costumer cannot avoid taking pictures of costumes for research purposes and cosplay purposes and all that jazz. And then there's me. I had a picture of Emily and all of the people we saw it with, but it was like it did not turn out very well, so I didn't send it. So she was there with me, though, I promise.
Katie just doesn't love me.
But yeah, and then she wore her awesome Black Widow hoodie that she's wearing now. She left her universe black hoodie.
Nice. Her universe, just a quick, I mean, I'm not being paid or anything, but they've got some amazing stuff.
We also got a really cool poster. And it says El Capitan on the bottom. Over here. See? Whoop! But it's a really cool poster. I already hung mine up.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Which we didn't know we were going to get a poster.
Right?
They just hand them to us at the entrance. Luke has thoughts very similar to Jim. And I'm going to say this as politely as I can. But what Luke is saying, I don't know how to pull this
up. Spoiler alert if you're logging on just now.
I don't think I can pull it up on the screen like they do for the other show.
Oh, there it is.
All right. So he said the worst thing about Black Widow is that there's no more Black Widow. I wanted this to be the first of three movies. I wanted to see Black Widow return at the end. She deserved this much sooner. I want a multiverse Black Widow. Half of what you said is true. I personally did not want to see Black Widow return at the end because I didn't want that. And I can't explain my reasons other than the fact that we do need to make room for new people to come into the franchise and everybody does need to have an actual end. Even though in comics they don't, but comics you don't want to end. Comics you want to last. For as long
comics, you have to keep making more of them.
Yes, but movies work differently. So I feel like it would have meant less. Her death would have meant less if you had brought her back and just been like, oh, well, no, she's not dead anymore. And I don't like that trope of bringing back people. But I do still think that they could make more movies that take place, you know, other places in her timeline.
Budapest.
Our friend said, you know, We want to see what happened in Budapest. It wasn't the same Gamora though.
It's the same thing we're basically seeing with Loki now, which is that it's somebody from another timeline.
Yeah.
An alternate.
Yeah.
TVA is going to go get her. Is what's going to happen.
I mean, they could, I guess, do with Natasha, but
yeah, but this particular Natasha.
Because I had a thought on that comment from Luke too. Because my best friend was asking me if she should go see it, and I was like, yes, it's amazing. But she was like, I don't know. I'm just because she is so bummed that there is no more Black Widow, and like for that reason, she didn't want to go see it because she knows in the end that we won't have her anymore. And I tried to encourage her, like, it's so much fun. It's still a great movie. You're gonna love it. But also I agree with you, Katie. I get a little tired of bringing the characters back after they're gone because it gets old when you do it too many times. And it works in a comic book, but when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think we have that touch of realism when we actually have to say goodbye to someone because I mean, yes, we love that escapism of these films, but at the same time, you know, we don't get to do that in reality. When someone dies, they are gone. And I think it kind of does help us cope when we see, you know, hey, you know, I'm dealing with the loss of this loved one, just like this character had to do here. And this is how they coped with it. And we can sometimes learn coping mechanisms that way. I mean, my mom is a therapist, and she'll even bring up examples from like film and TV of how characters have lost someone and how they handled the mourning. And they'd be like, oh, they did this, it was good. Or they did this, it was not good. So I'm in favor of having a character having an end. Yeah. And I wish, as much as I would love to have more Black Widow, I would be okay with I would be okay with her coming back from other timelines, if that makes sense. I'm getting to that. Because that's the thing, though. In Loki, we are dealing with, spoiler alert again, if you are not caught up on Loki, multiple Lokis from multiple alternate realities. And that's also what we have with Gamora. So we have this possibility of seeing another Black Widow, but she would be different to the one that we know. And I mean, if you watch, so
seeing a classic Black Widow, like, you know how we saw a classic Loki, seeing a classic Black Widow, her blue suit.
That would be so cool.
Like, that would be, I'd be okay with that. And no, I agree, Luke. I think Tony and Cap did get proper goodbyes and Black Widow didn't. And I think she deserves more. And obviously, her movie should have happened so much longer, like long ago.
Yeah.
It should have happened in the process of like when Captain America came out.
Yeah. I mean, walking out of Avengers 2012, I wanted a Black Widow movie. We all did. Like, there is no reason we shouldn't have had this movie in 2014.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, to add on to the whole her. People, characters needing to end. I also think it's important because when certain things overstay their welcome in TV shows and movies, it can ruin the character if they overstay and they push that storyline for too long. And I would rather have it end in a good way before I'm so sick of certain characters. I'm not saying we'd ever get sick of these characters, but I'd rather them not take that chance where something overstays their welcome, if that makes sense.
And
I think that's important too.
If we ever actually kill off Loki, which we know we're getting a season 2, so it's probably not going to happen in the finale on Wednesday, I would be okay with it if it was done well, because we thought Loki was killed off at the beginning of Infinity War. And in the episode of Kangai where we covered Loki, I explained my issues with how they killed him off. I think if they do it right, then I'm like, okay, this makes sense. This would happen for this character. I'm at a point where I can say goodbye to them. Like, it stinks. I would love to have more films and movies and whatnot. Films and movies. I'd love to have more content with these characters. But if we say goodbye the right way, then I'm okay with it. I mean, for example, Cap and Iron Man, we said goodbye in the right way to them. So I'm okay. It would be as awesome as it would be to see these characters again. I'm okay with not seeing them again because of how well we said goodbye.
Yeah. Yeah.
And technically, Loki did die. This was just a past Loki making his own adventure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's like the same Loki. It's just in the past.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Loki, our time, is dead.
And also, the death on the show it basically ended up being purgatory instead of
So no one was death. No one was really dying.
Yeah,
it was more of just when you delete a file on your computer and it goes to the recycling bin.
If we're also being honest, Loki is not entirely human like Natasha is, so if we're gonna go that direction,
is Jim wanting us to talk about this post-credit scene? Is that why we keep seeing Natasha's grave?
I was going to go into that. I feel like...
give me epilepsy, Jim!
Okay, Jim.
Before we move on to probably the end of it, is there any other big thoughts you guys wanted to say about the film in general?
I think I pretty much got everything out. I was pretty stoked that I noticed a costume thing before Katie did and pointed it out to her, so I'm just going to say that.
I've taught her well.
Like, when we were sitting there and the sister took off the vest. Like, you should take this. And I looked at Katie. I was like, oh my gosh, that's the vest she's wearing in Infinity War. And she's like, I didn't even notice that. I was like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. She didn't notice that. What about you, Danae?
I think I got all of my thoughts out. I mean, except for the post-credit thoughts that I want to share in a moment.
Of course. Yeah, I feel like there was one other thing I was going to say, but I honestly can't remember at this point. So I think we're good. Okay, so post-credit scene. There's only one. So for anybody who hasn't seen it, first of all, we spoiled the whole movie for you. So I apologize if you haven't
seen
it.
You're welcome.
But we did warn you. There's one post-credit scene. There's no mid-credit scene. And we all knew that going into Falcon and Winter Soldier, that there was a certain cameo that we were supposed to see prior to Winter Soldier, and that was supposed to be this movie. Because this movie was supposed to come out prior to Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Because of COVID happening, we ended up meeting a certain character in Falcon and Winter Soldier first. And that is the surprise at the end of the... First of all, this is how the host credit scene starts, with Yelena visiting her grave. And all of us were like...
I'm sure she set up her grave.
Yes, but we were just like...
I know, 100% Yelena set that up.
We were all just like, wow, Marvel. This is like the beginning of Spider-Man when you reminded us of Tony's death. Like, this is like the same kind of feeling. It is quickly interrupted by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Who is my favorite president. I thought... I was still so excited in that moment. Like, it took me one second. I'm so glad I'm not seeing your guys' faces while we talk about this. But I love that moment where we just hear, like, it's a really sweet moment with her at the grave. And then you just hear somebody blowing their nose. And it's, yeah, of course, it's Valentina, who she was probably my favorite part of Falcon and Winter Soldier. She is my favorite president. I love Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I think this was still a great, like, no, it was not the timing they originally planned, but I still think it worked so well because it was just like, whoa, she is not a good person. What are you doing next to my daughter? Why are you here? What's happening? And I was so proud of myself because she handed her something, and it's like, oh, it's the guy that killed your sister. And I was like, oh, it's going to be Hawkeye. And then it revealed it. And then my brother and sister-in-law sitting beside me were like, oh, it's Hawkeye. And I was like, I knew it before you.
I agree with Luke. I think it did work better in this order because that way we don't trust her because she's working with that U.S. agent who's...
I didn't trust her then either.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I know. But like she's coming in and working with Yelena, who you do trust.
Yeah.
You don't trust her. And so you're like, Yelena, what'd you get yourself into, honey?
Yeah. The fact that she sent her out to kill Hawkeye would have been a pretty good indication not to trust
right.
her.
Right.
I think it hit me harder the second time seeing that scene because, see, Emily was most excited about Falcon and Winter Soldier. Danae was most excited about Loki. I was the one who was like, Hawkeye's getting his own show. Because I love Hawkeye, and like Black Widow, I've been waiting for us to have his own time to shine.
Oh, yeah,
he's been in the franchise and is the only male Avenger, lead Avenger, who hasn't had his own movie. And like, she is the only girl, like the girl who didn't have her movie. So I was like, he earns it too. Jeremy Renner deserves it too. And so I was super excited. I still don't know much about it. But as soon as she came out that second time, I was like, you don't touch him. We don't touch him.
Okay, but this is the first thing I thought of when as soon as I saw them reveal Hawkeye, I was like, are we going to get some Yelena in Hawkeye? Because I'm down for that.
Luke said, maybe Natasha will give her proper goodbye in Hawkeye. I know he really cared. He did. We were all shocked when he had a family outside of he was not actually going to marry Natasha. I thought that was pretty surprising back in Age of Ultron.
It just shows how much they actually did care about each other and that they are like brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that he at least honors her in some way. And I think when he finds out Yes, the jacket. Yes, the vest. I noticed that. That was me, not Katie. What was I saying?
They were brother and sister, basically.
Yeah, they were basically brother and sister. And I hope that once he actually sees Yelena and is like realizes that it's his sister, like, he's going to try and help her. I know that for a fact because he's Hawkeye. He's a good dude.
I tell you what really, the sweetest moment of the movie for me was in this post-credit scene, because we know through the story that Natasha's favorite time growing up was when they were in Ohio. And obviously Elena set up this gravesite for her, probably not with her body, but yeah. I love that Valentina was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm allergic to the Midwest, indicating that Elena set all of this up in Ohio, where Natasha really felt at home. And I thought that was just like the sweetest thing, that she put her sister in the like her resting place is the place that she loved.
And did you notice that it's under a big tree, like that her mom ended up being rested in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I did not notice that thing. Yeah, that's
like,
good.
They rested her under a big tree, like of pink blossoms and stuff.
Yeah, because we hear about her birth mother was buried under a tree.
In Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize the Ohio thing until the second time I was watching it. And I looked at Katie. I was like, did she like move back to Ohio?
Because she's in the Midwest. Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess Ohio is good because, I mean, Luke's from there, right?
Well, I knew Luke would be excited.
It's okay. I'm from West Virginia, so I'm Ohio's fine. It's not
Arizona, so I don't really care.
So a couple other notes is our friend watched it on Premier Access and he watched it again with us in theaters tonight. And he, when we first talked, he was like, I fell asleep. I didn't really like it that much. But he was like, this movie was meant to see in theaters. And I was like, I told you, there's certain movies that it doesn't do it justice on the small screen. And I definitely think this was one of those movies. So if you guys have the chance to go to the theater, definitely do. If you need to wear a mask, wear a mask. No one's going to bother you. El Cap was still social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a full theater like AMC is
doing. Didn't let me bring my pepper spray in.
Yeah, but that's another discussion. But yeah, yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, do it. Make your own thoughts and opinions. You can always hit up the Con Girls or the Con Guy Twitter and let us know your thoughts on it. We would love to hear everybody's thoughts, but we do ask that no one be toxic and no one attack other people for their thoughts, because here
absolutely.
We try to make sure we can keep that toxic fandoms down to a minimum.
We respect everyone's opinions here.
So before
I'm not gonna hold judges.
Yeah. Before we leave,
be excellent to each other.
That's right.
Yes, be excellent to each other. Before we head out, I know, make sure you check out the Con Guys website and our podcast, The Happy Hour, on most Mondays, because we have all things geek there and we have the male side as well on that. And we have a little bit of everything for everyone. So definitely stay tuned if you are a fan of just being a fan.
And
absolutely.
We're going to be watching Loki
the finale on Wednesday. They're coming over. I'm making pizza. We're watching the finale of Loki. I'm sure we will go live. Yeah, I meant to text you guys and I forgot about it until just now. I'm making pizza. I was going to talk about Jaws in a second. I was just going to say, yeah, please. We are the Con Girls on Instagram. And we will probably go dual live again, I imagine, on the Con Girls and the Con Guy on Wednesday night after watching Loki. Share our thoughts, because we are huge Marvel fans, even though I'm wearing a DC shirt tonight because I also love DC. I believe we should coexist across the fandoms. Yeah, so Instagram live on Wednesday, probably pretty late because we are on the West Coast. But yeah, we will be talking about Loki, the finale. I'm so excited. My favorite character is the alligator. And tomorrow, which is Tuesday, the 13th, there is a Jaws interview dropping where Luke got to interview the mayor from Jaws. The mayor!
The son.
The mayor's here.
Hi, mayor.
Son of the mayor.
He's the son of the mayor?
Son of the mayor.
I thought it was the mayor of Jaws. The son of the mayor. Okay. I'm just repeating what Jim told me. Obviously, I did not make an error at all. The Maya is dead. The
mayor is son and
the Maya.
Yeah.
Son of the mayor from Jaws.
I'd be impressed if you could interview the mayor. Do we get a Ouija board?
Nope. I won't mess with that. But yeah,
nope. Stay away from that.
Find all the Con Guys podcast, all of our podcasts on any of the podcast streaming services, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I believe I'm forgetting the other radio places. Please don't hate us, everyone.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. We also send out a copy via Carrier Pigeon, but it might be a couple months before it gets to you, and you have to be on our Carrier Pigeon mailing list in order to get it. Sci-Fi Radio would probably be a lot faster because we're also there.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for joining in, and we will see you next time. Oh, before we leave, though, sorry. I am Katie. You can find me at KT_Christine across all social media and Twitch, streaming some Witcher, which we talked about earlier. And then we're going to pass it off to Emily so she can tell you where you can find her.
I'm Emily. You can find me on Instagram mostly. I also have a Twitter. I never use it. At M Gibson Girl. And that's my stuff.
Awesome. I'm Danae. You can find me on Instagram at DNAYS and on TikTok, like the Kesha song, at Whiny Danae, because I like to drink wine and talk about things on there. And thank you guys so much for joining us for our first ever solo Con Girls show. This is amazing. Don't miss Jaws. The son of the mayor is getting interviewed, not the mayor. Whatever little bit of respect we had, I think I shot right in the foot when I got that wrong, but you know, it's okay.
Is that the one last thing, Jim?
Yeah, I think so.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. Tune in on Wednesday while we talk Loki. I'm so excited.
Welcome to Dr. Geek's Laboratory.
Hello, everyone. Dr. Geek here with a shout out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. Let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this. For more information, visit vaccines.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.